God is a good, compassionate, merciful God on the throne, sovereign and loving. And even though he brings judgment, he is a God who relents if one will repent. You see all throughout his declarations of judgment, does God take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Rather, they would repent and live. God is a God who will relent if you repent, but he will judge.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Devin. He says concerning the program, it's my absolute favorite radio program. His teachings are an immense blessing. Well, Devin, that is such a blessing to us to hear. It's so wonderful that God is using his word and using Equipping the Saints to bless you. And so thank you for letting us know. We praise the Lord.
And Greg, today you get to what many people would consider to be the practical side of the Christian life.
Indeed we do, Dave, and what you're talking about is obedience. Okay, well, with this in mind, let's take a look and see what Ezekiel has to say about obedience. Let's turn together to Ezekiel chapter 2, and we're beginning in verse 8.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Jeremiah 29:18. And I will pursue them, Jeremiah 29:18, with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and a horror and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets, but you did not listen, declares the Lord. You therefore hear the word of the Lord, and all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. They wouldn't listen to God's word. They wouldn't listen. And he's saying, Ezekiel, listen. Don't be like the rebellious house. They don't listen, but you listen. And if you want to serve the Lord, listen to his word. Don't be like those who are rebellious who don't listen. They claim his name, they say it all day long, and yet they don't listen to his word so as to obey it. Don't be like them. So the Lord God is on the throne commanding Ezekiel to listen to him and thus obey and not be like those who are unwilling to listen, okay? Now you, son of man, verse 8, chapter 2, listen to what I'm saying to you and do not be like that rebellious house. Let me ask you this. Do you come to the word of God? Do you come to obey what you hear with the intent to obey? To obey the word of God? One thing that helps us see things rightly is seeing the Lord on the throne and recognizing we are frail and we are not capable. You know, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, in Philippians, Paul says it this way, so, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, that's really what it is, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a reverence for the God who is at work in you. Phobos and traumas, because God is at work in you. So obey. I mentioned this earlier. I read it in Matthew chapter 7. But there are those who hear God's word. They hear his word. And now there's two possible responses. Those who hear it and do it, and those who hear it and do not do it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out many demons and in your name perform many miracles? We obeyed you. That's what they're saying, basically. We did your work. And then I will declare to them, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, this is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. The teaching on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, that's Jesus' word, and acts upon them or literally does them. You got to be changed. You have to have a changed heart to do God's word. Okay? And he says here, may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. You're going to stand up eternally no matter how bad the storms get. And they sit here, and everyone who hears these words, hey, these are people at church. They're hearing God's word. They're claiming to be believers. They're here. They're claiming to be Israelites, trusting the Lord, supposedly. Hears his words and does not act upon them. The Lord Jesus had just made it clear who were truly blessed. The poor in spirit, those who were spiritually bankrupt, those who had the character of Christ through faith in him, and those who were not to be like those who were the phonies. Hear his word, right? So then, there's a real problem out there. There's a real problem with people who hear God's word and don't obey. The Lord has a lot to say about it. In James chapter 1, he says, prove yourselves doers of the word, verse 22, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what type of person he is. The illustration is, when God's word shows you where you're wrong, shows you who kicks your sin, there should be a change. There should be a desire to confess and get right with the Lord. But these people, they see it, and then they walk away, and they forget who they really are. They forget. He has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's the word of God, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. You see, before you knew the Lord, you couldn't obey God. And when you received the Lord Jesus Christ, you received his spirit and a new heart and an ability to obey God's word and see things differently, a willingness to be convicted by the Spirit of God and do what's right. And there are those who think they know the Lord who hear his word, but they don't because they don't obey the Lord. So then, we need to confess sin. We need to get right with the Lord before we can obey. We need to receive his word implanted. Now, in our passage, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to see that the Lord gives Ezekiel now an illustration in real time of what it's like to consume the word of God. Literally, as we're going to see. Okay? He says here, now you son of man, verse 8, listen to what I'm speaking to you, and do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you. This is God on the throne directing everything. He's talking to Ezekiel. He's had him stand up. And he's saying, open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you. Then I looked, verse 9, behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And when he had spread it out before me, it was written on front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So the first thing I think we're going to see about obedience is we need to be those who open our hearts to the word of God. We need to open our hearts to it. He says, open your mouth. This is an illustration. The word is like food for us. It's our spiritual food. And when you open your mouth, you're receiving that food, okay? And open your hearts. Later on, chapter 3, verse 10, if you look at this, he says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, take into your heart all my words which I shall speak to you and listen closely. It's a heart thing. He's going to illustrate it through eating, okay? He's going to illustrate that through receiving, okay? So back in our passage, then I looked and a hand was extended to me and lo, a scroll was in it. A scroll is like a roll of parchment that has writing. This one has writing on the front and on the back. It's like a roll. It's a scroll. You know, people talk about having Ezekiel, but how about Ezekiel scrolls? Okay. But it's got a scroll here, okay? And here, it's spread up for him and written front and back. And written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the first thing, the significance here, is that the Lord is the one giving him the word. The Lord feeds us by his spirit with his word, and we need to receive it. We need to open our hearts like Ezekiel needs to open his mouth. He says, I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was on it. When he, that's the Lord, spread it out before me. The Lord is doing this. It was written on front and back. Okay, a scroll. You got the idea, right? The written word. Okay, this is crucial. The Lord is speaking to him. The Lord is giving him the word. And when you hear the word from the scriptures, the Lord is bringing it to you. You got to remember that. I'm not saying I'm the Lord. I'm just a servant relaying his words like Ezekiel. But the Lord is the one that is bringing the word. And I think so often we do not see God rightly, thus we don't see his word rightly. You know, if you get pulled over by a police officer, I'm sure you're going to listen to what he has to say because he has authority over you, okay? You're not going to say, forget it, buddy, I'm taking off, right? Well, some do, foolishly and wickedly, but I'm saying a normal person is not going to do that. If you are before a judge in a courtroom who has authority to make decisions over you, you're going to listen to what they have to say. You're not going to ignore that. How much more the God of the universe, who is in control of everything, and he is speaking to us through his word, how much more are we to listen? We are to open our hearts. Now, here's where it gets sticky. Sometimes what God says from our perspective doesn't sound too good. It doesn't sound like something that we think is good or we would want to do. Give you an example here. He says, written on this were lamentations, mourning, and woe. That doesn't sound too good, folks. And I think this is important, this vision and this symbology, to point out that as we see in the New Testament, foreshadowing that God gives us his word in written form. He gives it in written form. It's foreshadowing that. We know from 1 Peter chapter 2 that eventually the scriptures the prophets brought forth, eventually the word, they were recorded in scripture. The word scripture means written word. When you see the word scripture, it's the word graphe, where we get our word graphite, it means written word. And so in 1 Peter 1:20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture, written word, was a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So we have now the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We have his completed word. We're to receive that. We're to eat it. And don't eat your Bible, okay? But we're to eat it. We're to take it in. We're to take it in. But sometimes what it says may not be so pleasant to us. And what Ezekiel's going to take in isn't too pleasant. It is written on it, were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Lamentations, that's a lament. Terrible things happen. It's lamenting over it. Mourning, that's crying and wailing over circumstance, whatever it might be, and woe, that's a statement of judgment. So what does this symbolize? Certainly the reality is God's word that he's going to give to Ezekiel and what he's going to share is going to be unpleasant. It's primarily about the fact that God is going to judge Israel's sin, and it's going to bring lamentation, mourning, and woes. But Ezekiel said, well, I want to share a better message. I want to share the message I want. Well, that sounds like today's churches, doesn't it? I'm going to share the gospel I want to share. I'm going to share one that has to do with a happy life with Jesus. That's all you need to know. No, you need to know the bad news that you are a sinner and God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world through the man Jesus Christ. Therefore, he's declaring to all men to repent. But the good news is that Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross. If you trust in him, acknowledging your sin, you will be saved from your sins. There's bad news that people don't want to hear. And people lean on their own understanding. But here, Ezekiel is to take what God says and relay it, regardless of his viewpoint of it. God is a good, compassionate, merciful God on the throne, sovereign and loving. And even though he brings judgment, he is a God who relents if one will repent. You see all throughout his declarations of judgment right next door. Does God take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Rather, they would repent and live. God is a God who will relent if you repent, but he will judge. And so the message he's going to bring is not a message of TBN and prosperity. It's not a message of happy life with Jesus. It is a message of judgment and a need to repent, that these Jews who thought they knew the Lord needed to know the Lord truly by repenting and believing in the one seed of Abraham who would come and die for their sins. So then, we don't get to choose what message the Lord gives us. And for us, now we have the completed word. Preach the word, not part of it. I always get bothered by people. My ministry is to go out and share prophecy only. Well, listen, preach the word. When you get to prophecy, praise the Lord. Preach what God says, but preach the word. We don't choose what areas we want that's the most exciting for people. We preach the word of God in season and out of season. Paul said that he did not cease from declaring the whole counsel in Acts chapter 20. Therefore, he had no spiritual blood in his hands. So then, Ezekiel is to share this. He's to eat. He's to take in this scroll that has God's word on it, but it's got a word that's lamentations, mourning, and woe. So we need to open our hearts to the word, and then we must be willing to say whatever he says it is, or willing to receive it, first of all. And then notice, we need to feed our souls with his word and obey. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Kind of interesting. You got to look around the scroll. You got to do some work in the word, Ezekiel. Eat what you find. It's an illustration. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. You receive my word in your heart and you go share it with them. There's no room for your opinion, Ezekiel. It is you take in my word and he says, speak it to the house of Israel. So verse 2, so I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. It's great. The Lord's feeding him the word. Isn't that great? And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with the scroll which I'm giving you. Then I ate it and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. It's quite an amazing illustration as Ezekiel's being called, right? You think God's called you to share the word of God? Well, you need to eat it first. You need to consume it. You need to get it in your heart, your soul. You need to be ready to share his word alone, no matter how difficult it is. You got to be in his word. You got to know his word. You got to study to show yourself to prove. And if God has called you to do that, if he has gifted you to do that, then you share forth his word, not yours. So then here, verse 1, son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and go and speak to that scroll. Hey, eat what you find. You got to look for it. Eat it. Find it. Eat it. And then we see here, we need to go and speak it. So we have this physical example of digesting the word, right? It's a physical example. The Lord is having him eat this scroll. And then he's to eat it and he's to go speak forth to the house of Israel. I believe at this point we have receiving the word illustrated. You got to open your mouth. You got to receive it in your heart. You got to digest God's word, not just let it skim around the surface. You need to get it in your heart. To do that, you got to set aside all filthiness and all malice and all that remains of wickedness. Confess sin. You got sin in your life, you're not going to receive God's word. First of all, you're not saved, you can't receive it. You'll hear the gospel, get convicted, and you can turn to Jesus. But if you are saved, you got to set aside sin and then receive the word implanted. So he says, so I opened my mouth, and it says that he fed me this scroll. Brothers and sisters, when we are coming to the word of God, we got to see this God feeding us spiritually. He is feeding us. God is through his word. He's feeding us what we need for life and godliness. He's feeding us everything we need for our spiritual life and everything for this life. You know, it's the word of God that grows us in respect to salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, and again, this principle, putting aside all malice, all gall and hypocrisy and envy aside, set sin aside. You mess up, confess it, set it aside. It says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. It's like God's word is the nutrients you need for spiritual life. Long for it. Now, we'll see later on, Ezekiel, there were those who certainly enjoyed sermons, but they didn't obey God's word. We're going to see it's not just longing for it and getting it in your heart, it's obeying it. That there should be a change. So he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach. Verse 3, and fill your body with the scroll which I'm giving. Feed yourself the word of God. Fill yourself up. Fill yourself up with the word of God. Let it be overflowing in you. And notice he says, then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey. You know, God's word is sweet. Even the difficult stuff is sweet if we're willing to receive it. Listen to the Lord and fill your soul with his word. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Get it in your heart. Let it dwell richly. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We need to see God's word for what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. You need to see it for what it is. You know, it's easy to take things for granted. It's easy to see things wrongly and to lessen the value of something. Don't do that with God's word. Turn to Psalm 19. We should be leaving church going, oh, I'm full, right? We should be filled up with the word of God. We should be leaving our studies and our own personal say filled with the word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. You got a soul problem? You need God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, you don't need Mitzi Pazalazalun for your depression. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. The Lord is the one through his word who changes our hearts and minds. You need the Lord. Now, again, just a caveat, don't run out and change your medication. If you're on it, go to your doctor, but get in the word of God. Let him get you off it, okay? But get in the word of God. Psalm 19, and he says here, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Look at this. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. How about Psalm 119, 103? I'll show this. How sweet are thy words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, 104. For thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Feed yourself with the word of God. It's sweet. If your heart's right, feed yourself with the word of God. It's sweet. So then, what does biblical obedience look like? Well, first of all, we have to have an open heart to the word of God. We need to listen, and then we need to receive it and get it in our hearts. You got to get it in your heart. And then we're going to see there is a response. When we believe what God's word is, it's going to result in a changed heart that desires to obey. Okay? Notice chapter 3, verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. So now he's saying, here's what you're going to do. If you've been fed the word of God, you're to listen, you're to fill your souls, we'll see. Now go to them. And notice he explains, he says, for you are not being sent to a people, that would be speaking of one nation, a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language. Hey, people you can't understand their language, it's hard to learn. He's not saying that. He's not saying sending him to that. But to the house of Israel. Nor to many peoples, many different nations. Basically, that's what he's saying. Not to one nation or to many nations of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you, yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. He'd obey God's word, not fearing and knowing that he'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you for the task. Whatever it is, if he's called you to preach, he's going to strengthen you for the response. He's called you to serve and obey. He's going to strengthen you for however people respond around you. He's called you in your relationships to obey him. He's going to strengthen you to endure what he's called you to endure when difficulties come. He's going to strengthen you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what are a couple of things that we should remember?
Well, Dave, as we've seen today through Ezekiel's example, we need to obey God's word, not fearing or losing heart, knowing that the Lord will strengthen us. And for those who are called to share God's word, we need to recognize he takes us to where he wants us to be, and it may be to those who might not respond. And we need to not fear their response or be dismayed, but we need to trust the Lord and know he is working through it. We don't have a choice to whom the Lord sends us, but whom the Lord sends us is to whom he sends. And with that, he's going to strengthen us and give us the ability to do what he calls us to do if we trust him. Well, we're not done with this wonderful passage yet, so make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.